Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Lamed Dalid, and we are 5 lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. Yesterday, we began at the end of the daf a really festive sugya, the Mishnah on the top of Kuf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, which discusses somebody that legally tries to bypass the laws of Yerusha. So the Torah delineates in very precise detail what happens to a person's nechasim after he dies. A man dies, if he leaves over sons, his sons, Yarshid is nechasim. If there are no sons, it goes to his daughter. No daughters, his father. No father, his brother. Some of the details that have been discussed in the beginning of Parash Neichlin. What if somebody doesn't want that only his sons should yashin and that his daughters shouldn't yashin? Or what if somebody doesn't want all his sons to yashin? He would want some to yashin and not the others. So again, we saw in the sugya that as long as he writes his tzava using the proper language, he uses a lashon matana, he doesn't use a lashon yerusha. According to Rabbi Yechem and Breika, even if he uses a lashon yerusha given certain criteria, it's possible that it would work. Stating that, the Gemara yesterday concluded with a statement, Amalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda, Shinina, sharp one, Leitahavi Be'avuri Achsanta, you should not get involved in a tzava that, although legal, will at the end of the day result in the person that the Torah did not designate as the Yerush getting the Yerusha. Even if this father that wants to be Maver Nachlo is taking it away from a son that's not behaving to a son that is behaving, and certainly if he's taking it from a son and giving it to a daughter. So Shmuel told Rav Yehuda that even though it's possible legally to make this work, but at the same time, I'm telling you, Midas Chasidus, this is something that you should have nothing to do. We mentioned yesterday at very great detail, number one, that this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber in Chayshu Mishpat, Simen Reish Pei Beis, brings this, it's a small simen in Shulchan Aruch, but it's brought down Halacha L'mais in Shulchan Aruch. We mentioned several tshuvas from the Chassam Sofer, tshuvas from Moshe Feinstein. We spoke a little bit about the Shtar Chatzi Zohar, so some interesting raid regarding this topic, which is that even though it's possible for a person legally, al pi chukei u'mishpatei ha-Torah, to take the Yerusha away from the son that's supposed to get it and give it instead to somebody else, stating that is a midas chasidus, it's something that ain't ruach hachamim noichem menu, something that a person is not supposed to do. I saw the Ben Yoyada says that why did Shmuel in this Gemara refer to Rav Yehuda as Shinina, sharp one, charif? So it's not the only place in Shas where you find this, but why dafke here did Shmuel invoke this adjective Shinina when describing Rav Yehuda? Says the Ben Yayada, he was trying to tell him that even if you're going to come up with a cheshbon, you know, you're really smart, you're a shinina, you're a charef, and you can come up with 900 different reasons why you think maybe it does make sense to be maver nachlo, I'm telling you, leitahavi be'avuri achsanta. Don't use your charifos, don't come up with a good story, a good shtickle Torah, a good alibi. I'm telling you now, this is something that you shouldn't do. Either way, we're going to pick up on the note that we left off yesterday. There's some more intense raid regarding Havaras Nachlo. We're going to save that for tomorrow. Today is in and of itself a hashtag really nice stuff. So we'll work on that a little bit and we'll get back to some of that tomorrow. Tana Rabbanon. Maisa Bada Mecha, there was a story with a person, Shlayahu Banav Noyakim Kishura, he had sons, but unfortunately they weren't Noyak Kishura, Omad, Vikasav, Nechasav, Vyonasim Benazil. This man was dying, he was a Shchivmer, and he decided that he doesn't want to give his possessions to his sons because they're not behaving. So he was maver nachla. Instead of leaving his estate over to his children, instead he wrote a shtar. He's giving it to Yonasan ben Azil, the great Tana Yonasan ben Azil. Ma'os Yonasan ben Azil. Machashlish Yonasan took the nechasim. He sold a third. The hikdish shlish. He was makdish a third. The hichzer levonov shlish. And he gave a third back to these very sons that the father was trying to avoid getting. Says the Gemara, Ba Olav Shammai b'makloi v'tarmiloi. Shammai came to Yonasan ben Azil with his shtekina. Omalei Shammai. He told him, Im ata yochel lohitzi es masha macharti u'masha hektashti ata yochel lohitzi masha hechzarti. Im lav, if not, I ata yochel lohitzi masha hechzarti. So the Gemara is very sussum. It's not clear what exactly was the nature of the exchange between Yonasan ben Azil and Shammai, two great Torah personalities. And it's machlokes Tosfos and the Rashbam. Both pshatim are difficult, but we're going to take the Rashbam's difficult pshat. And that is, the Rashbam says that Shammai had a taina on Yonasan ben Uzziel. He understood that when the father gave Yonasan ben Uzziel this gift, he gave him the nechasim, he did it because he didn't want the sons to get it. So if he gave it to Yonasan ben Uzziel because he was trying to avoid the sons getting it, it's implied that there was a tenai in the matana. The tenai was, I'm giving it to you on the condition that you don't give it back to the sons. The minute Yonasan ben Uzziel went and he gave one third of it back to the sons, it comes out he violated the tenai. If he violated the tenai, then the whole matana was batal. So Shammai came b'maklev v'tarbiloi, and he told Yonasan ben Uzziel that by you giving back one third to this guy's sons, you are mavat, the whole matana, it's not yours anymore. And Yonasan ben Uzziel responded to him. He said, Shammai, if you hold that the whole matana lekatchila was given to me al atanai, it was given to me only on the condition that I don't give it to the sons, that means there were certain limitations to the rights that I had as the recipient of this gift. And that can't be. Because either it's mine or it's not mine. You can't tell me it's mine, but I can't give it to somebody else. To the extent that you're limiting my ability to go ahead and give it to even one person, in this case, this gentleman's sons, that means it's not mine at all. So Manavshach, if you have a problem with the fact that I went ahead and gave it, then you should have had an issue with the whole matana, whether I did give it or whether I did not give it. Either way, says the Gemara, Omar, Shammai told Yonasan ben Uzziel, Hitiach alai ben Uzziel, Hitiach alai ben Uzziel, you stumped me. You're 100% right. Meaning, I thought that the matana is a matana as long as we conform with the tanai. What was the tanai? Don't give it to his sons. And even though he never expressly stipulated the tanai, but it's understood, it's implied that there's this tanai. Why is it implied? Because why else did he give it to Yonasan ben Uzziel? He wouldn't have given it to you if not for the fact he's trying to avoid giving it to his sons. So it's as if he gave you a matana on the condition that you don't give it to his sons. If you give it to his sons, the tanai is batal, thus the matana is going to be batal. If not, everything is going to be okay. But Yonasan ben Uzziel told Shammai that if you're going to work with that methodology, there was a real tanai in the matana in the sense that you're giving me a gift, but I have limitations as far as what I could do with that gift, and it shouldn't be a matana at all. And from the fact that you agree, Shammai, that on some level it's a matana, it must be, it's a matana completely lichalutin. Whether I give it to the son or don't give it to the son, it's automatically going to be mine. Either way, says the Gemara, Mikara Maisavar. Shammai thought he had a good taina. He comes, guns blazing. B'maklev etarmila to Yonasan ben Uzziel. And then Yonasan ben Uzziel seems to deflect him very easily. What was Shammai thinking? Says the Gemara, Mishum Maisa de Beischarin. He thought, Tishtel this to the story that took place in Beischarin. And this is a story that features very prominently in Mesechtes Nedar. Tonight we learned in the Mishnah, a rather lumbish story. Maisa de Beischarin, there was a story in Beischarin. There was a person who had made a neder that his very own father can't have anah from it. So Reuven, the son, Yaakov, the father. Yaakov is not allowed to have anah from his son Reuven. Reuven was making chasanah, and he wanted to invite his father to the wedding. The problem is, Reuven was paying for the wedding, and if Yaakov was going to come to the wedding, Yaakov would have hanah from Reuven, and he was mudar hanah mimenu. He wasn't able to do it. So he sat down with a pikeach. Pikeach said, I learned Nedarim. I have a way out. So what did he do? Amar lechaveri, went to his friend. Harichotze v'suda nasuna lechavim matana. I want to give you, this goes over to a random person, Yankel, and he says, listen, I have a chatzar, I have a suda, I'm about to pay the caterer, it's a lot of money, if you want, I'm giving it to you all as a gift. You're the one that's making this party. The reason I'm doing it is because I want my father to be able to come. Now, if it's my party, my father can't come because I made a neder that my father can't have enough from me. But if it's your party, I'm giving it to you as a gift, then my father will be able to come. Amalah, he said, Yankel said, Inshallah, really, they're mine? It just so happens I pledged to give a lot of money to Hekdesh, and you know, I've been looking for this windfall. I knew Hashem was going to help. Boom, this is the money I was looking for. He went in and he was makdish it. He told him, whoa, I didn't mean it to really be yours. I didn't mean that it should be yours to the degree that you should be able to be makdish it. All I wanted was a way to circumvent the laws of the Darim, because I wanted my father to be able to come. So he told him, meaning, in other words, this is a scam. You didn't really mean to give it to me. You wanted it to be yours. It should look quote unquote, as if it's mine, so that your father will be able to come. Clearly, you're violating, in my opinion, Yankel tells him, the one loisa say and the two essen that come along with every issin adarim. But says Yankel, that's your problem. I don't want to have anything to do with this. You want me to get involved in this situation? Amru Chachamim, what did the Chachamim say? Kol matana she'ena she'imekdisha mukdeshes ena matana. That this Yankel was right. And the bottom line is that if somebody gives somebody a gift, but it's not his 100%, meaning he's limited in terms of what he's able to do with the gift, the halacha is the gift is not a gift. And meaning that in this case, when Reuven gave Yankel this gift, he told him afterwards that I never gave it to you so that you should be able to be makdish it. It comes out that it was never fully his. If it was never fully his, then the matana wasn't a matana, and this way of circumventing, getting his father to be able to come to the wedding, wasn't really good. So what does that do with our Gemara? So the Gemara says that Shammai thought that this story was somehow precedence for his argument to Yonis ben Aziel. Where did he see that? Because what he saw in this story was, he thought that the issue here was, there was a man who gave somebody a gift, and he made it very clear, I'm giving it to you, but I'm giving it to you with limited rights. What's limited rights? That you don't have a right to be makdash. He wanted it to be his, so that his father should be able to come to the wedding. He didn't want it to be his in the sense that it should be his 100%, that he should be able to be makdash. So it's as if he gave it to Malatanah. I'm giving to you, Allah, tonight that you should not be able to be makdashid. And then the person went ahead and he was makdashid. And because he was makdashid, it came out that the matana was now batal. So Shammai said, I see this concept that if I give you a gift and I give you the gift on the condition that you don't do something with it, and then you go ahead and do that thing with it, it's mevatal the matana. Just like in this case where somebody gave all his nechasim to Yonis ben Aziel, he gave it to him because his kids weren't behaving, and then Yonis ben Aziel went and he gave it to the kids. And Shammai understood that by him giving it to Yonis ben Aziel and not to the kids, it's as if he gave it to Malatanai that the kids shouldn't get it. So when Yonis ben Aziel now gave it to the kids, he himself was violating the Tanai. And you see then that if you give it Malatanai and then you violate the Tanai, there's going to be a problem. But Shammai was wrong. What Yonis ben Aziel told him was that in this case, being that he gave his friend the wedding or the value of the wedding, b'matana, and he gave it to Malatanai, not only was there an issue to the extent that he would be makdashit, but it was never his to begin with. Even if he wouldn't have been makdashit, this friend Yankel, there would have been a problem over here. Because kol matana she'eino she'imikdisha mukdashit zeinu matana. If I don't own it to the degree that if I want to be makdash, I could be makdash, it comes out it's not a matana. So it's not only if he violates the Tanai that there's going to be an issue. It's going to be an issue, Mamonavshach. But Yonis ben Aziel said, there's a difference between that case and this case. In that case, it's true, it's for sure an issue. Why is it for sure an issue? Because there he stipulated clearly, he told him in Mefurish, that I don't want you to go ahead and be Makdashit. If I tell somebody, I'm giving you a gift and I don't want you to be Makdashit, it's not a gift. That's the rule of that Gemara, kol matana she'ino she'mekdisha mukdesha se'inim. However, in our Gemara, it's different. Because in our Gemara, he never stipulated anything. The father really never told Yonis ben Aziel that you can't give it to my sons. Shammai assumed that if he gave it to Yonis ben Aziel and not to the sons, he probably meant that the sons should not end up getting it. And to the extent Yonis ben Aziel ends up giving it to the sons, he's somehow being bevatel tonight. Yonis ben Aziel said it's not true. He never made that tonight. In other words, he was arguing with Shammai on two points. Number one, this in between where if somebody gives somebody a matana ala tanai, to the extent that he doesn't violate the tanai, the matana is a matana. But to the extent that he does violate the tanai, the matana is not a matana. There's no in between. There's no such thing. Either it's a matana or it's not a matana. And what's the raya to that? Beis chayrin. Because that's the real maskon of that gemara. Amru chachabim, kol matana, she'ino she'mikdish mukdash zeini matana. If I give you a gift, but you can't be makdashit, then it's not a matana. It's the same thing. If I give you a gift and you can't give it to my sons, then that's not a good matana. So number one, Shammai's chiluk over here, that if you're mekayim the tanai, it's good. If you're mevatel the tanai, it's not good. But at the end of the day, you have someone who received a gift with limited rights. There's no such thing. You can't receive a gift with limited rights. Either it's 100% yours or it's 0% yours. That's number one. At the end of the day, Yonis ben Aziel also tiny that it's not a tzushtal to the Maisen Beis Chayrin. Because the Maisen Beis Chayrin, there was a real tanai. And being that there was a real Tanai, and you can't give somebody a Chatzi Matana, so you end up with nothing. In our case, there was no Tanai. Being that there was no Tanai, Yonis Ben Aziel held, there's no reason that it shouldn't be his 100%. Either way, this concludes the more intense part of the daf. We now have a classic Divrei Agada. This Gemara comes up in other places in Shas. It's also Masechta Sukkah, Daf Chof Ches Zamed Aleph. So the Gemara throws us a little bone. We mentioned Yonis Ben Aziel. We mentioned him in the context of Yerusha. So we have a half a Amid of Divrei Agada regarding Yonis Ben Aziel. Tanu Rabbanon, Shmoydim Tambidim Hoyle Lul Azakim. The great Hillel HaZaken, we mentioned Shammai, now we have Hillel HaZaken, had 80 Talmidim, Shloisha Mehem, Ru'uyin, Shetish Olem, Shechidik Mesh Rabbein. 30 of them were so great that they were Ro'i, they were on the Madrega, that the Shechina be Shoira on them, in the same vein that the Shechina was Shoira on Moshe Rabbeinu. Shloisha Mehem, another 30 of those 80 Talmidim, Ru'uyin, Shetabalam, Chamik, Yishuvan, they weren't as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. They weren't ruin shetishu aleim shechina k'moshe, but they were ruin shetamadam chamo k'yishua benun. That's from Benin. And what about the 20 in between? Gadol shabu, the 20 were in between. Gadol shabu kulon, the greatest of these 80 was Yonis ben Aziel. Katan shabu kulon, the katan was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. I'm Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So let's see, number 80 in this list of 80 Talmidim. Who was he? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. They say regarding Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, shlo yiniach mikro, u'mishnah, gemara, Halachos ve'agodis, diktukei Torah ve'diktukei Sefer ve'kala ve'chamurin u'gzeira shavos u'tkufos ve'gematrios u'mishlois kofsim u'mishlois shualim, even u'parables sichas shedim, you can communicate with demons, v'sichas dekolim, trees, v'sichas malachei asharis, v'davar gadol v'davar katan. Davar gadol ma'isa merkava, v'davar katan havayis dabaya v'rova v'kayim mashenemar lahanchol oya ve'esh v'oitzroi seyem amale. So you want to know who the katan shabakulun was? He was Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai. You want to know what Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai knew? He knew everything. He knew mikra, mishnah, gemara, halachos, agadois, diktukei Torah, diktukei Sefer, kalim, chamurim, ayin, b'rashbam, to see exactly what each thing is, but it's self-explanatory. He basically knew everything. Says the gemara, v'chineyachah, the katan shabakulam came. If this was the katan shabakulam, gadol shabakulam, achas kama v'kama, can you imagine the gadol shabakulam? Rabbi Yochanan, Yonis ben Aziel, how great he must have been, says the Gemara. I'll tell you a little bit about Yonis ben Aziel. Amru all about Yonis ben Aziel, when he used to sit and learn Torah, kol oif shepereach, any oif that was flying on top of him, nisraf would burn. From the fire that came from his Torah, he learned Torah on such a hoicha madrega that kol oif shepereach olav nisraf. Either way, so again, we mentioned Yonis ben Aziel, so we have Divrei Agada. Shmoinim Talmidim Hoyloi Lehil Lazakin. The 30 greater ones were on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. The 30 smaller ones were on the level of Yeshua Benun. There were 20 Beninim. Put some names to the faces. Katan Shabakulon is the great Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. We mentioned yesterday, Rabbi Moshe says in the Tshuva B'derech Agav, that from the times of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, there was no person that lived that was as great as Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Sort of makes sense. The Gadol Shabakulon was Yonasan ben Aziel. The godless Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is, he knew Kol HaTorah Kula. He knew everything even beyond Kol HaTorah Kula. The godless Yonis ben Aziel was B'shosh Yoshev V'Oisek B'Torah Kol Oiv Shepereach Olaf Nisraf. So, a few horrors. Number one, Shmoinim Talmidim Hoyuloi L'Hil L'Azokin. I thought to Shteltzu Chidah that I saw. The Mishnah says regarding Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai himself that Chamisha Talmidim Hoyuloi Le Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So the Chidah says that's Pashit, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had more than five Talmidim. Chamishim Talmidim Hoyuloi Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. That's it, the great Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. All he had was five Talmidim. If he came into his yeshiva, his shir, there were five people sitting around the table. Presumably there were a lot more Talmidim to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So it's Medayik that we know that Chazal say, Umitalmida Yoisa Mikulon, that a Rebbe can steig a lot from a Talmud. That if he has a Talmud that's mechadid him, that forces him to prepare and to say the Vart very clearly, the Rebbe can very often get more from the Talmud. We've spoken at a lot of Chassam Sofers about this. Mitalmida Yoisa Mikulon. So says the Chidah, Chamisha Talmidim Hoyu Loi the Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Of course he had more than five Talmidim, but loy, Talmidim that he was able to shteik from, people that he was able to get so much from, five. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkinus, Rabbi Shulman Chanani, Rabbi Yossi Akoyin, Rabbi Shim ben Nisanu, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, those were the Talmidim that were hoyu loy, that he himself benefited so much. So perhaps the same dik, Shmoinim Talmidim hoyu loy, Lehu Azakin. Hilu Azakin had 80 Talmidim, not just Talmidim, perhaps his yeshiva had hundreds, maybe thousands of Talmidim, but hoyu loy Talmidim that were on the level that Hillel himself was able to learn so much from. It's interesting, the Katan Shebekulam is Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, the Gadol Shebekulam is Yenis ben Zil. So this we've spoken out before. The Rambam in his Akdama, the Pirush HaMishnayos, says something very interesting. He says that if you go through all the Tanoim that are mentioned in the Mishnah, you count them up, the number that you're going to get is 128. There's 128 Tanoim. And he says that the Tanoim come in three different forms. Meaning when they're introduced to us, they could be introduced in one of three ways. Some are introduced with the title Rebbe. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfin. Most Tanoim, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Gamliel, most are mentioned as Rebbe. Some are mentioned as Rabban, Rabban Gamliel, Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. And then finally, you have others that are mentioned without any title at all. They're just mentioned, Shammai, Hillel, etc., etc. Says the Rambam, what's the beer? He says it depends on what level of greatness they were on. And he says something counterintuitive. He says the people that were on the lowest Madrega, they were the Rebbe. The ones on the higher Madrega, they were Rabbans. The ones on the highest Madrega, they weren't mentioned with any title at all. And the reason the people on the highest Madrega weren't mentioned with any title, he says, because it would be impossible. Just like the Nevi'im, right? Who are the Nevi'im? Yeshaya, Yecheskel, Yeshua, Amos, Yoel, Habakkuk, right? They're not mentioned with any title. Why isn't it Reb Habakkuk? Why isn't it Reb Shaya? Why isn't it Reb Yirmiyah? Are they mentioned without a title? Says the Rambam, because any title that you're going to get, right, people like getting titles. But the truth is, says the Rambam, it's counterintuitive. Because a title, to a degree, takes away a little bit of, oh, that's who you are, you're a Rebbe. I thought you much more than that. The Nevi'im were on such a high Madrega that any title that you're going to give them is actually going to take away. And that's why the Nevi'im didn't have titles, and that's why there were even certain Tanon that didn't have titles either. So the ones on the highest Madrega had no titles. The ones that were one Madrega below that, they're the Rabbans that you find, not many of them, but they are the Rabbans. And then finally, most of the Tanam were on the third Madrega. That's where they're only Rebbe. I think it's very meduyik in this Gemara. Katan Shebekulon was Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. Gadol Shebekulon was Yonis ben Azil. The Katan had the title Rabban. The Gadol didn't have the title. He's Yonis ben Azil. It's Mam Meduyik. It works out very nicely because the Katan Shebekulon, he is on the lower Madrega. He's a Rabban, the Gadol Shebekulon. That's already Yonisim and Azil. He's mentioned without any Madrega. I saw that the Marsha says that the Gadol, the 30 greater Talmidim of Hillel HaZaken, were Ru'uyim Shetishra Aleim Shechina K'moish Rabbeinu. So he says, does the Marsha something very interesting. He says that we find the same exact nusach regarding Hillel HaZaken himself. It's the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanim, Shemesu Nevi'im Achreinim, Chag Yischayu Malachi, Nestal Ruach HaKodesh Mi'Yisrael. Vafa Pikein, Hoi Mishnam Shem Baskel. Even though there was no Ruach HaKodesh, but the Yidin still used to use Baskel. Pamach, Hosayim Masuk Mabli Yisbeis, Guri Yabi Richai. The Yidin was sitting in Yurichai. V'nos Alei Baskel Man HaShemayim. And a Baskel came out and said as follows. Yesh kan echad sheroi Tishra Olav Shechina K'Moshe Rabbeinu. There's someone in this room right now that's roi, that the Shechina should be shayra on him like Moshe Rabbeinu. Elo she'ein doiroi zakei lakach. However, unfortunately, the generation is not a level that they should merit having a leader as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. Nosnu chachom meseneim Hillel HaZaken. Everybody looked at Hillel HaZaken, they realized that who is the baskel intended for? This baskel was being sent to Hillel HaZaken. Meaning Hillel HaZaken himself was on the Madrega, she'ro'i she'tishra olav shechina k'moshe Rabbeinu. Says the Marsha, it comes out then, that Hillel's 30 greatest Talmidim were on his level. That was, and that's the point of the Gemara. They were on his level. They were mekabel from their Rebbe, that they became mamish like, and just like Hillel himself, says the Gemara Sanhedrin Yod Aleph, was Roy Shetishra Olav Shechina Kamayish Rabbeinu. His 30 great Talmidim were also on that very same Madrega. They were Ru'uyim Shetishra Olav Shechina Kamayish Rabbeinu. Says the Masha, what's Pshat? Why would Hillel have been on the Madrega? Sheroy Shetishra Olav Shechina Kamayish Rabbeinu. So the Masha says, the Pshat is, because Moshe Rabbeinu was Zoicha to his level of Nevuah, his level of Ashrayis HaShchina, because of his Midas Anivos, because he was a very, very humble man. And you find that Hillel HaZaken throughout Shas was also very humble. The Gemara is in Perek B'Mem Adlikin, but the Gemara talks about somebody who was trying to drive Hillel crazy on an Erev Shabbos, right? Teach me Kala Terukula Regalachas. Hillel was an Onof, he was an Anaf son. Hillel had the Madrega of Anivos, just like Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why he was a clay kibul. He was a basis fashrois hashchina on the same exact level of Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, the reason Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Masha, was zoicha to his very lofty madrega of nevuah is because of what an anov he was. Hillel too excelled on that same level in terms of midas hanova, and that's why he was roi shetishra olav shchina k'moshe Rabbeinu. I think with this Masha you can answer the Rishonim's kasha. In this week's parsha, so at the very end of this week's parsha, parsha's Baloicha, you have the parsha of Nevuas Moshe. But Tadaber Miriam Aaron, but Moshe Aloidus Isha Akushes Ashalokach Ki Isha Kusus Lokach. Miriam speaks Lashon Hara about Moshe. The crux of the Lashon Hara has something to do with the fact that she's equating the Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah to the Madregas and Nevuah of Sharon Neviim. She was wrong, because Moshe Rabbeinu is so much greater than all the other Nevi'im. And the Torah goes, waxes poetic. The very end of Parashas Baloischa, about how you can't compare, Lo Yikein Avdi Moshe, never compare anybody to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's one of the 13 animamims, that Moshe Rabbeinu is a much greater Navi than all the other Nevi'im. Either way, good cash, Cheski. Either way, if you look at that Parsha of Nevuah, right before the Torah talks about the Madregas Anavua of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah prefaces it with one pasuk: "Va'ish Moshe Anav Ma'od Mikala Adam Asher Apnei Adam." And all the Rishonim answer, Ramban, everybody's bothered. Why did the Torah preface the parsha of Nevuas Moshe with the fact that Moshe was Anav Ma'od Mikala Adam Asher Apnei Adam? According to this Masha, it's beautiful. You know why? Because why did Moshe Rabbeinu reach this great Madrega of Nevuah? Is Dafka because he was such a great Anav? Also, this is a very befitting segue. We're about to tell you what a great Navi Moshe was. Miriam, don't confuse Nevuas Moshe with Nevuas Sharon Neviim, Eldad, Medad, whoever the other Navi in that story was. Don't compare them to Moshe. Moshe is so much greater. What's the preface to that? What's the intro? What's the hakdama? One pasuk. V'ish Moshe Anav Ma'od Mikol Adam Asher Al Pnei Adam. Moshe Rabbeinu, so much of a greater Anav. Oh, if he's so much of a greater Anav, then it makes sense. Now, we're all familiar with the Brice of Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair. Sefer Mesillas Yesharim is predicated on the Brice of Pinchas Ben Yair. It starts off with Zrizus and Zehirus, and we start going through all the different Madregas, this 12-step program that a person can go through to reach the pinnacle of Avodas Hashem. And at the very end, where do you end up? With Ruach HaKodesh. Right? It's famous that Reb Itzala Petterberger, Talmud Muvik of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, once said that, I don't know if my Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, was about Ruach HaKodesh, but that he had achieved all the prerequisites, all the madrigas of Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair, that you need to reach in order to come to Ruach HaKodesh, that's Zecher. So when a person climbs the mountain, you scale Mount Mesillas Yesharim. You get up there, you accomplish every single madrega. Where do you end up? You end up with Ruach HaKodesh. You end up with a level of Nevuah. Ruach HaKodesh is one of the four levels of Nevuah, as the Rishonim speak out. You end up with a little bit of Nevuah. What's interesting, as our girsa of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair's Braisa, the one that's most known, which is the one that follows the Mesillas Yesharim, is not really the girsa in the Gemara Masechet Zvedazar Dachof in the base. In fact, the Gemara over there that brings this Braisa, that's the Makar, has two girsas, both not like the Mesillas Yesharim's girsa. The second girsa that the Gemara brings there is, Rabbi Shua ben Levi said, Anova Gedoyla Mikulon. The last Madrega is Anova. That means the last Madrega, before a person reaches the level of Ruach HaKodesh, before a person starts getting into the realm of Nevuah, is Anova. Anova and Nevuah go hand in hand. And I think the Svara makes a lot of sense. The Svara is because we know, what does Hashem detest more than anything else? Gaiva. Ein Aniva hu yucholim lada b'madar echad. Spoke out once for Rav Moshe Mayer Lederman, and he said that believes that's the reason when you go to the Kaisel, it's a very humbling experience. What's so humbling about the Kaisel? You know, maybe you go to Grand Canyon, Lahavdol, it makes sense. It's just very overwhelming. what's going on there? It's, you see that there's a power, there's a force. Marabu Masecha Hashem. But the Kaisel, at the end of the day, it's a wall. Why is it so humbling? So he said the reason it's so humbling is because we know that Hashem tells the Balgai, you and I can't be in the same room. Meaning, Hashem says, if you're in the room, I'm not going to be in the room. Kaviyochel Hashem is mitzantzei hishchina. He's mesalik himself from the Dalin Amis of where the Balgaiv is. But by the Kaitzel HaMaravi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore that he's never going to remove the Shechina. The Shechina is there like the Rambam says in Hilchas Beis HaBchira, etc., etc., etc. So we know the Shechina is always by the Kaitzel HaMaravi. Oh, it's always by the Kaitzel HaMaravi. And now the Balgaiv is here. And Hashem can't be in the same room with the Balgaiv. So what do? We have to knock at his Gaiva. So that's why you come, you put on your paper. It doesn't matter who you are. But when you're at the Kaitzel HaMaravi, you, there's a certain level of humility. It has to be that way. Because ein aniva hu yichayla. But the bottom line is that Hashem says, I can't be with the Baal Gaiva. So the more that you remove yourself from Gaiva, the more you take upon yourself humility, the more you're shayach now to be a klei kibbol, to be a basis for Hashroyas Hashchina. I'll tell you something interesting. We love talking about the Chassam Sofer. I saw that Reb Shlomo Kluger, the great Reb Shlomo Kluger, was maspid the Chassam Sofer. And when he was maspid the Chassam Sofer, he said as follows. Regarding the Chassam Sofer, ro'i li'ois nemer olav, hay chassid and hay onav. So apparently, on top of everything else, the Chassam Sofer was also a very, very, very humble person. I read to you what one of the Chassam Sofer's Talmidim wrote, parenthetically, about the anivus of the Chassam Sofer. Anachnu zachinu lirois es rabbeinu agadol bal Chassam Sofer. Rabim shakol b'nei agoylo, v'gadol ma'id l'chol ha-yehudim. Yokar b'nichpa de'ine kol asar, v'yo'onav u'shval ruach, afilu b'fnei k'tani Talmidim adl hafli. The midas anov of the Chassam Sofer, he said, was adl hafli. V'ro'isi be'einai. This is Rabbi Yosef Fish, one of the Talmid Chassam Sofer talking. I saw with my own eyes, Eich Rabbeinu HaGadol Shama Has Divrei Talmud Katam She'ejev Es Dvarev, that a Talmud Katam once came and asked him a kasha, and he asked him the Chassam Sofer a kasha, Behu V'an V'sanusay Hoidel L'divrei HaTalmud, he was murdered to the Talmud, V'chazam Medivrei Atzmoy B'pirsum B'fein Kol HaYeshiva, and in front of the whole yeshiva, B'rabin, he was chayzer because of something that a Talmud Katam told him. Something apparently big chash rabbanim would not do. And he was trying to say what an honor of the Chassam Sofer was. But either way, the Talmid of Chassam Sofer talked, in addition to all his godless, about what a great honor he was. So said Reb Shlomo Kluger in his hesped, that Royis Liois Nemar Olav Hay Chosid Hay Onav, Lefi Tzidkas Maisav Va'an Vesenusay Agdoilo, V'im Kein Memela, said Reb Shlomo Kluger, Havi Royis Shetishra Olav Shechina. So it's pasha to me that he must have been a Baal Ruach HaKodesh. Because if he was such an honor, he had to be such a Baal Ruach HaKodesh. Where does that come from? How do you know that someone that's so humble is someone that's so prone to possibly be a Baal Ruach HaKodesh? The answer must be, the answer is our Gemara. That's this Marsha. That Milfi Goydel Midas Ha'anova by Moshe Rabbeinu, the same is true regarding Hillel. They were Ruim Shetishra Olav Shechina. Chassam Sofer in his Sava to his children wrote as follows. Listen to what he said. Vim Yoren Hashem Karnachem. He says one day he's talking to his children, I give you a bracha that you should be very successful in life, but at the same time I'm cautioning you, don't become a Baal Gaiva. Why? We're the sons of Avram, Talmidei Moshe Rabbeinu, we're the Talmid of Moshe Rabbeinu, Avdei Melech David, we're the Avadim of David HaMelech. Avinu Amar, our father Avram said, V'anoichi Yofa Ve'efer. Rabbeinu Amar, V'nachnu Ma. Malkeinu Amar, our Melech David said, this is beautiful. V'anoch anoichi Teilas V'layish. And V'hamelech HaMekava, and Mashiach, who's going to be our Melech, Yiskalu B'dimyon Oni V'reichiv Alachamar. V'imkein Gaiva V'goydo Leva Minayin Lano. We don't have a Messiah of Gaiva. We have a Messiah of Anivos. Our father, our Rebbe, our Melech. The Melech HaMashiach is even an Oni V'reichiv Alachamar. So our Messiah is Aniva. Either way, this is the first Ta'ara with regards to Anava. But I'm going to tell you something very interesting. Amru Olav Al Yonis Ben Aziel. B'shoshe Yoyshe B'Oisik B'Torah. So what's Pashim Shat? Why was it that when Yonis ben Aziel learned Torah, any bird that was flying on top of him would burn? Tosfos in Masechet Sukkah, the other place in Shas where this is brought, Chav Chesam Adalav says as follows. Because when Yonis ben Aziel learned Torah, Hayu hadvarim smechim kinesinasam besinai. The Torah was so geshmak, it was so besimcha, it was literally kinesinasam besinai. Shenit the Torah beish, and by Sinai the Torah was given with fire. Ki inyan zemot sinah bemedrash, and says Tosfos is another place where you find us. It's a medrash. But uvda the Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua regarding Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, Shahayu Mesubim Besuda, V'liyatoha Eish Svivam. They were sitting at a Suda, they were learning Torah, and a fire came and encircled them. This Medrash that Tosfos is referring to is really Yerushalmi, and it's brought down by Arichas Tosfos Masechtas Chagigah Daf Tezvav and Aleph in the Sugya of Acher. The Gemara over there says that why did Acher, who was one of the Gedolei HaTanan, he was Rameir's Rebbe, why was he Yatzel L'Tar B'Sra? Says the Gemara, Toiv Achus Dovah Meresh Yisrael. It's because his beginnings were somewhat humble, and that's what caused the ending to be not so good. Says the Gemara, at his very own bris, his father, Avua, his name was Elisha Bar Avua, was an Odom Chashuv, and he had a VIP guest list. And all the Chshuvim that were living in Yerushalayim at the time came to this little baby, Elisha's bris. And amongst them were the great Tanan, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. And when they were there, they moved themselves over to the side and they started learning Torah. And the Torah that they were learning was Smechem Kinesinasa Misinai. And as a result, the fire came down from Shemayim, it encircled them, and there was this unbelievable moment. So Avua comes, he's working the crowd, and he sees that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, they're sitting on the side, and they're surrounded by fire. He says, what's going on? He said, they're learning Torah. And they're learning on such a high madrega that the Torah is kinesinasa. He says, really? A person can achieve such a madrega in Torah that it's as if he's being makabel Torah misinai? He said, I want that my son should be dedicated, spend his entire life learning Torah. And he raised his son to learn Torah. And that's why he became the great Elisha Bar Avua. However, the motives were shaloi lishma. It wasn't l'shem shemayim. He did it because he was impressed by the fire. The wrong reason, on that level, not the right reason. And it's for that reason, at the end of the day, b'soif yomov, achar was yotza l'tar b'sro. But either way, it says Tosfos. So I have here this Gemara regarding Yonos ben Aziel. And I have here this Uvda with Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, where they were sitting, they were learning Torah, and there was fire. So the fire of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua that's mentioned in Yerushalmi, Masechtas Chagiga, it's the same fire of kol oiv she'pireach olav miyad nisraf. It's the same fire that would burn every bird that flew on top of Yonos ben Aziel's head. It's because the Torah was smechim kinesinah son, and that simcha, that fire of Sinai, that's what went ahead, and that's what burnt it. The emes is, this idea that a person can somehow tap in, that a person can somehow tap into Maimon Har Sinai, even Bezman Hazeh, is something mentioned by Reb Chaim Volozhiner in Nefesh HaChaim, Shar Dalet, Perek Yud Dalet. Reb Chaim Volozhiner over there quotes two Zohar HaKadoshes. One is in Parshas Chukas, the other one is in Parshas Achre. Parshas Chukas, Rabbi Yehuda Pasach, Zoysa Torah, Boyu Rei Divrei Torah Kedoshim Heim. Take a look at how Kadosh Torah is. El Yoinim Heim, Mesukim Heim, Misha Oisek B'Torah, Kilu Oimid Kol Yoim Al Har Sinai L'Kavol Torah. Zeu Sha'omar Hayoim Hazeh Niyesalam. If a person learns Torah in the right way, it's as if he's standing at the foot of Har Sinai, Tachtis Ahar, and he's being mekabel Torah. Zoyer and Parshas Achre. Kilo Madnu. Kol mi shemakshel v'divrei Torah, Ashrei hu b'olam hazeh. Kilo kibel Torah misinai. Va'afilu mikol adam tzrichem l'shmai divrei Torah. U'mi shemata oznei l'kablam. Noisen kovil l'melech ha'kodesh. V'noisen kovil la'Torah. Olav ha'kosav oimer hayoy mazeh. Niyeh salam. In other words, it's possible, bizman hazeh, just like Bayom HaMahem, for a person to somehow be standing at the foot of Har Sinai and be mekabel Torah. So much, it becomes real. There's the fire that existed at Har Sinai, right? The Pasuk talks about the fire that was on Har Sinai, the koilos that were on Har Sinai. It becomes real to that level. It's shayach for a person to literally tap in to what was going on at Har Sinai. And that's the yesod of Yonos ben Aziel, kol oiv she'pireach olav nisraf. So I was thinking something very interesting. That is that we spoke Shavuos night that a pasuk in Parshas Vaschanon, es advarim ha'ila dibur Hashem, el kol kahalchem bahar, mitoicha ish, ha'anon va'arof, el kol gadol, the kol that was in Har Sinai, was gadol v'lo yasaf. What does v'lo yasaf mean? So pashut means it came to an end. But the Targum, Unkelus, and the Targum Yonos ben Aziel, both taich, v'lo yasaf means v'lo pasak, v'lo psik. It was an everlasting kol. It was a kol that went forever. So Shavuos night, we mentioned the Cheskuni. The Cheskuni says that the kol of Maimon Har Sinai didn't just last the 3 hours of Maimon Har Sinai, but it lasted through the 40 days and the 40 nights that Moshe Rabbeinu was in Shemayim being mekabel the rest of the Torah. And that was the kol gadol v'lo yasaf. The v'lo pasak was, it lasted beyond just Maimon Har Sinai. It went for 40 days and 40 nights. The Kuzari says that just like the kol lasted for 40 days and 40 nights, the esh, the fire in Har Sinai, also lasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And that was some of our rest of the story, Shavuos night, that Maimon Har Sinai, although Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer says lasted 3 hours, was really longer than that. It really went for 40 days and 40 nights. But the truth is, that's not the Pasuk Pshat in V'loi Pasak. V'loi Pasak means it's forever. So how do you understand it? How do you understand the koilus of Har Sinai is forever? The Eish of Har Sinai is forever? The Teretz says it's this Reb Chaim Volozhiner. It's this Tosfos. It's this the Yerushalmi. That you see that even though Maimon Har Sinai, it's true, it was a one-time event that happened in our history. It happened on Vav Sivan, maybe Zion Sivan. It lasted maybe for 40 days and 40 nights. But at the same time, it's a Kol Gadol L'Yosef. Every single person has the ability to somehow tap in to a Maimed Har Sinai. He can learn Torah and it can be on such a level like Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, B'shem the Zohar HaKadosh and Parshas Achrimos and the Zohar HaKadosh and Parshas Chukas, that the Torah could be Smechem Kines Yinosan as if he's literally being Mekabel Torah. Misha Oisek B'Torah Hu Ki'ilu Oimei Kol Yoyim Al Har Sinai Mekabel Torah. Zeu Shomer HaKosef HaYoyim HaZen Yesel Yom. And it's Reb Chaim Volozhiner somewhat Alpi Kabbalah to Zohar HaKadosh, but it's also a Tosfos and Shas. It's a Tosfos and Sukkah Chofchas Amid Aleph to explain the Gemara there Masech the Sukkah and to explain the Gemara that we're learning right here in Masechtas Bava Basra. Either way, there's an idea that Maimed Har Sinai is a Kol Gadol V'lo Yosef. A person has the ability to tap himself into Maimed Har Sinai. But I was thinking one other very, very interesting thing. This is not, and here's the punchline. Exactly. Who is the one that you find this idea that the Torah was Smechem Kinesin Asam by? Three Tanam, Tosfos mentions. Yonis Ben Azil, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Yeshua. It's half of a fella. Who wrote Targum Yonasan? Yonasan ben Azil. Who wrote Targum Unkelus? It's a Gemara Masechtas Megillah Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Unkelus Ager Amroi, Mipi, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Yeshua. In fact, Rameh Simcha Meshach Chachman, a few different places, makes Cheshbonus where he has Targum Unkelus as Lashitase with Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, and Shas. Because the Gemara says, Unkelus Ager Amroi, Mipi, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua. Yonasan ben Azil, who saw with his own eyes that it's possible for a person to tap in today to Maimon Har Sinai. Because when he used to learn Torah, any bird that was flying on top of him would burn. Why would they burn? It was from the Eish of Maimon Har Sinai. Because the Torah was Smechem Kinesin Aslan. He saw that Maimon Har Sinai wasn't a one-time event, some historical relic that we have in our history, but it's something that's chai v'kaya by Yom HaMahem is manazeh. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua says, Tosfos Yerushalmi says, when they were learning Torah by Elisha Baravua's bris, the Torah engulfed them, it encircled them. Why? Because they too were tapping into Maimon Har Sinai. V'yadvorim smechem kinesin asam. So Yonis Ben Azil l'shitasai, based on his own experience, when he wrote his pirish on that pasuk of Parshas Veschanon, Kol Gadol V'lo Yosef, the Rebbe of Yonasan Gazok, you know what it means, Kol Gadol V'lo Pasak. Maimon Har Sinai is something that's, what do you mean, it's Chai V'Kayim? It's Chai V'Kayim, like the Zohar says, because with the Torah, Smechem Kinesin Aslan, you can tap in. You can tap it even to the Eish of Maimon Har Sinai, to the Koilus of Maimon Har Sinai. You can literally be standing at the foot of Har Sinai. It's a Kol Gadol V'lo Yosef. Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Yeshua, too, when they were being Metargim, Targum Unkelis, they too, from their own personal experience, the experience that Yerushalmi quotes in detail in the Sechtes Chagiga that happened at the Bris of Elisha Baravua, they saw the Ish, they saw the Kol Gadol V'lo Yosef. So it's not a coincidence. It's Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, it's the Yonasan ben Azil, it's the Targum Unkelis, it's the Targum Yonasan. That's the Kol Gadol V'lo Pasuk. A person has the ability to latch, a person has the ability to tap himself in to this everlasting Maimon Har Sinai. I think it's Dvarim Naflam. Just conclude with one light note, and then I guess we'll finish the daf tomorrow. And that is, so the Gemara talks about Hillel HaZaken. Hillel HaZaken had 80 Talmidim. Katan Shevekulon was Rabbi Chaim and Zakkai. The Gadol Shevekulon was Yonasan ben Azil. Says the Gemara, Katan Shevekulon, what can you tell us about him? He knew everything. Mikra, Mishnah, Gadol, Lachas. He could even communicate with the demons, etc., etc. He knew everything, says the Gemara. If that's the Katan Shevekulon, what about the Gadol Shevekulon? He was Yonasan ben Azil. Yonasan ben Azil, when he learned Torah, Kol Oif Shepoireach, all of Nisraf, meaning he was on the Madrega. Now that we learned this Tosfos, we understand it a little bit. He was able to tap into the Kol Gadol V'lo Yosef. He can literally sit, learn for Seder, and he's not sitting in a base Medrash somewhere. He's at the foot of Har Sinai. He's literally at Har Sinai. That's the Madrega of Yonasan ben Azil. So the Kotzker Rebbe said that the Katan is Rabbi Chaim ben Zakkai. The Gadol is Yonasan ben Azil. The Rebbe, Hillel, must have been even greater than Yonasan ben Azil. What's giving the Madrega from the Rebbe? He says, Rabbi Yechon, we got Hill, and what about the Rebbe Hillel? At the Kotzke Gezocht. And if anyone knows anything about the Kotzke Rebbe, the Ru'uyin Advarim Lemisha Amram, it's so matim. He said the Rebbe Hillel HaZaken was on such a madrega that he really could have been like Yonasan ben Azil. When he learned Torah, Kol Oif Sheperech could have burnt. But his level of avodah was batznei leches on such a level that he made sure that the oif ha-pireach did not burn, because his avodah was 100% bepnimius. We speak out from the Kotzkel up. Befi yisharim tisroimam uvetzivtzei tzadikim tisbarach uvulshoin chasidim tiskadash uvekerev kedoshim tisal. For those that daven nusach Ashkenaz, that's the nusach Svard Shoychenat. Peh svasayim loshoin kerev. Had the Kotzkel Rebbe gezogt that the higher madrega that a person is on, the more b'hatznei aleches, but more b'pnimius his avodah is going to be. See, he says in that tefila, we're describing four different madregas. Yashar, tzadik, chasid, kaddish. Yashar being the lowest, kaddish being the highest. The Yashar who's the lowest, it's b'fi yisharim tisraimam. He's merayim Hashem with his whole peh. The next madrega is sifsei tzadikim. The next is b'lshayin, it's with his lips. It's not his whole mouth, but it's lips. The next is tongue, which is even more bepnimius. But the Kaddish is on the highest madrega. It's bekerev kedoshim. Everything is bepnimius. Everything is happening inside. It's kiyadua. The Kotzker Rebbe didn't like when people shuckled too much during the Avodah. He didn't like if somebody walked into Beis Medrash with a nice asterisk, because he would question your motives. Was it emes? Right? If you ever listened to Shlomo Karabach. Cuts, the most important thing in the world was the truth. What does it mean, the most important thing in the world was the truth? It meant not to lie, not to violate the Sheker Tirchak. No, what it meant was for a person to be Erech, that every act that you do should be a reflection of who you really are and what's really going inside of you. So if you're going to shuckle during davening, you better be real. And it better not be some shit, some show, or some charade that you're putting on for the people around you. Kotzk was all about the emes. But the Kotzker Rebbe held that the more bepnimius a person's avodah was, the more authentic he was, the more emes he was, the more real he was. Yaakov Avinu's midas emes, Yaakov's batznei aleches, he hides for 14 years. Yaakov was mesakin arvis, that's at night, choshech, when nobody's looking. Because the more emes you are, the more bepnimius you are. Said the Kotzker Rebbe, Yonis ben Azil's madrega was not shaykh. But the Rebbe, Hillel HaZoka, was an even a higher madrega. He didn't put on, there was no shows. There was no fantastic things going on. There was no oifa peireach shemayad olav nisra. You saw Hillel HaZoka and he just gave a share. Didn't seem so dramatic because his avoida was on the highest madrega. It was bekerev kedoshim tisalam.